Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we ask that you may speak to us through your holy word, through your Holy Spirit. Give to us ears to hear all you are saying, hearts to receive all you are saying to us. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're now into the third year of the pandemic. It's changed our lives completely. One thing, though, hasn't changed. The problem of loneliness. It's been around for a long time, but the problem of loneliness has actually grown worse during the pandemic, because more people are self-isolating. More people are just staying at home. As I said, the problem of loneliness is not new.
It can hit people of any age. So in my case, loneliness hit me at a very young stage in life. I grew up in my grandfather's house. I was living with my parents, my sister, my grandfather, my uncles, and my aunts. So it sounds like a very big, happy family. In reality, I was very lonely. Because every day, the adults would go to work, my sister would go to school, leaving me alone at home with my grandfather. My grandfather, he was a very good man, but he spoke only Cantonese. And I could hardly speak any Cantonese, just enough to say things like eat and sleep, not enough for any good conversation. So I couldn't really communicate with my grandfather, and I was very lonely. So one day when my parents came home from work, I said to them, "I'm very lonely. I want to go to school." And they were shocked because I was actually too young to go to school, too young to go to kindergarten. And I kept saying, "I'm very lonely, I want to go to school." So they listened to me and they sent me to preschool even though I was too young. In preschool, I made friends. Actually, some of them are still friends today, right from those early years. So friends to me are very precious. And I believe that the gift of friendship is God's answer to this universal problem of loneliness. There are all kinds of friends. Some are just casual acquaintances. So we know their names. We say hi when we meet. We don't really know what is deep down inside of them. There are other people, closer friends. In fact, so close that we have invented new terms for them, right? A new term like bromance and BFF. So bromance, I think you know, is a very close relationship between two men. It's not sexual, but it's just brothers having a, what do you call it, having a manse? it's a bromance. Ladies, of course, there's no bromance. But ladies prefer another term, BFF, our best friend forever. In the Bible, this kind of very special relationship is shown in the friendship of David and Jonathan. And I want to look at this friendship today so that we can learn from David and Jonathan and so that we can learn how to be better friends with other people. Special friends are people who have one soul and one spirit. 1 Samuel 18 verse 1. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul, nephesh, of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Soul is the Hebrew word nephesh. It refers to mind and emotions. The soul is your mind and your emotions. So David and Jonathan, it's like they were thinking same thoughts. They were having same feelings without even having to explain. They just understood each other. What a beautiful gift that God gave to them, even though they were actually very different. Jonathan was a prince, the eldest son of King Saul, a prince. David, he was just a shepherd boy. And who would have thought that a prince and a shepherd boy could be best friends? And yet they were. God brought them together. Notice that the Bible says their souls were knitted together. How beautiful is that? Unfortunately, through the ages, people have misunderstood and have called David and Jonathan homosexuals. You know, if you just read Bible verses at face value, you may think that they were gay. Let's look at these verses. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. 1 Samuel 18:1. They kissed one another and wept with one another. 1 Samuel 20:41. David said, "I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of women." 2 Samuel 1:26. So, it certainly sounds like they were gay, but were they really gay? William Guthrie wrote a book, not surprising. His book is called David and Jonathan. And he writes, "Some have dared to postulate a homosexual relationship, while others have pointed out that in the cultural and historical context of the times, such a deep and lasting friendship was natural." So what the author is saying is, there are some things today we do not accept. When we see things today, we don't accept certain things. But in Bible times, they were acceptable. And so you ask, what kind of things? Well, how about two men kissing? If you see this in church today, two men kissing, I think you would say straight away, they're a gay couple. But in Bible times, it was accepted. So Romans 16:16 even goes so far as to say, greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm so glad we don't do this today. We have COVID. We certainly do not want to kiss one another with a COVID kiss. David and Jonathan, not homosexuals. If you study the language of the Bible, go deep into it, you will find that they were really not gay. In the Bible, when it says that Jonathan loved David, the word is based on the Hebrew word ahava. I think you're familiar with this word. Any tourist to Israel has used this famous brand. It's Dead Sea Minerals. It's body lotion, it's face lotion, and it smells simply wonderful. I love it. The word ahava, it means love. It's the same word the Bible uses when it talks about God loving Israel. There's nothing romantic about God loving Israel, is there? It's a very wholesome, clean, pure kind of love. But when the Bible talks about romantic love, sexual love, well, that's a different Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word based on yada. Yada. So you see two Hebrew words for love. Ahava, yada. When the Bible says that Jonathan loved David, the word is always based on ahava, very pure, wholesome love. Never once does it use the word yada, which is romantic and sexual love. Deuteronomy 13 verse 6 says that there is a friend who is as your own soul. How beautiful to have such a friend. Truly a gift from God. So, David and Jonathan were drawn together despite their very great difference in age. Many people think that David and Jonathan were two young boys hanging out together, maybe two teenagers hanging out together, but not so. They were actually very, very far apart in age. David was like this and Jonathan was a lot older. How much older? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but there's enough information in the Bible. There's enough that we can find from the Bible text to be able to do pretty accurate calculations of their age. So we know that Jonathan was at least 15 years, if not 20 years, or even more than that, older than David. The calculations, they're quite complicated, quite detailed. I can't go into it now, but if you really are interested, you really want to know, just send me an email. I will send it to you. Then you can calculate for yourself just how much older Jonathan was from David. Good friends, they are of one soul. They are also of one spirit. We often confuse the two, but really, they're very different. there is Psalm 146, verse 4. And I'm reading to you in the New King James Version. It says, His spirit, Ruach, departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. This verse is talking about death. When your spirit departs, you die. It's talking about death. The Hebrew word Ruach, it can be translated as spirit. It can also be translated as breath. So depending on which version of the Bible you're reading, you could read that his spirit departs or even that his breath departs. It's the same meaning because when you stop breathing, you die, right? It's the same meaning. So what is the spirit exactly? You know, I really cannot explain to you except to tell you that the spirit is that spiritual part of you. It's invisible, but it communicates with God. If you are a Christian, you believe in Jesus, you pray, you worship, then you are definitely in contact with your spirit. It is your spirit reaching out to the Spirit of God. You are an atheist, someone who does not believe in God. He doesn't pray, he doesn't worship. And you ask the atheist, do you have a spirit? I think he won't know how to answer because he's definitely not in touch with the spiritual part of him. But he certainly knows about his soul because the soul is the mind and the emotions. So the atheist knows he has a soul. He doesn't know he has a spirit. But for Christians, we know we have a spirit. And good friends, they are connected at the level of the spirit, a very strong faith in God. In my case, God has blessed me with a group of very good friends. We've been together many years through good times and bad times. And what keeps us together is that we have one spirit. Here's a photo, if you can please take a look at the photo. This photo was taken in 1993, very, very long time ago. So please excuse me if the photo is not sharp. In those days, we didn't have any digital cameras. This photo was taken at Changi Airport. Some of us were going on a mission trip to the Philippines, and I've highlighted to you the people who were going on the trip. I've not named everyone in the photo because the rest were the send-off party. You know, they were sending us off on this long trip to the Philippines. So let me name to you those who went on the trip. Left to right, that's me in red. Then Pat Orr, Bessie Lee, Joyce Ho, Rosie Lee, and her husband, David Lee. We were all pastoral staff in the cathedral, all of us. But here is the point. In 1993, only Bessie and I were pastors. The rest of the people, they joined the pastoral staff later. So in other words, we were friends going together on a mission trip. We were not colleagues traveling together. We were friends. And we've been friends all this time. We are still friends today. As I said, we've been through good and bad times. There have been certain seasons, the days so dark that I couldn't even talk about what was happening to anyone else, but only to these friends, because they understood the darkness of the hour. Good friends, connected in spirit. Likewise, Jonathan and David, of one spirit. In 1 Samuel 14, we read of how Jonathan had such strong faith in God that he and his armor bearer, just two men, they dared to attack the whole Philistine army. The Bible says there was a multitude of soldiers in the enemy army, a multitude. That means you can't even count so many. But against them, only Jonathan and his armor bearer. What was it that made Jonathan so gung-ho that he would dare to attack so many people? His strong faith in God. His belief that God would give the victory. Jonathan, he must have been wondering, is there anyone else in the whole of Israel who has the same burning passion for God? And then finally, Jonathan found that person, David. this young shepherd boy. The Bible says the whole of the Israelite army, King Saul, his whole army, they were shaking, they were shivering in fear because of the enemy giant, Goliath. But David, he dared single-handedly to fight against Goliath, and he won. In that day, I believe Jonathan knew this David, he is of the same spirit as me. We are one in spirit. And so Jonathan found a new friend. Let us also be open to finding new friends. I believe God will bring them into our life. Once I was at a Christian meeting, not here in Cathedral, but outside another location. And that day I met many new people. I call them new people because I've never met them before. And I'm speaking to a lot of new people. When I was speaking to the last new person that day, I had a very strong prompting from the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit wants me to give this person, this lady, a lift home. But I wasn't happy. And I began to argue with the Holy Spirit. And I said, I've just met her for the first time. How can I offer her a lift home? I don't even know where she stays. How can I offer her a lift home? Or what if she stays at the farthest corner of Singapore? And Singapore is so big. How can I offer her a lift home? I was arguing. And the Holy Spirit said, just offer her a lift home. So finally I said to her, how are you going home after this? I was hoping she'd say that she'll drive herself home. Instead she said, I'll take a bus. So I thought, wow, this is not good. So I said to her, and where do you stay? And her surprise nearly knocked me down. How many roads do you think there are in Singapore? Hundreds? Thousands? I think there are thousands and thousands of roads in Singapore. Do you know that she named the exact same road where I stay? Oh, it was terrible. I'm still arguing with the Holy Spirit. And I said, it's a very long road. Oh. So I said, where exactly do you stay? And when she gave me her address, I had no more strength to speak. She's my next door neighbor. And I've lived there for so many years, and she has lived there for so many years, and we never even seen each other. But you see, God can do such things. He can bring new friends into our life. And that day, that lady, she was laughing all the way home because God had provided transport for her, and she was in a hurry to get home to cook dinner for her family. And God provided me the reluctant donkey to send her home. Be open to the new things that God can do in your life. He will open doors for you to meet new people. Let's return to the story of David and Jonathan. Jonathan loved David so much that he made a covenant with him. A covenant is an agreement, not just a human agreement, but an agreement made in the sight of God, made in the presence of God. And in Bible times, if you made a covenant, it was customary to give gifts as a sign of the covenant. So the Bible says that Jonathan gave 5 things to David: his robe, armor, sword, bow, and belt. What were these things? Jonathan, of course, was a military man. He was fighting in the army. He gave the things that were his personality, an army personality: his robe, armor, sword, bow, belt. In giving these things, Jonathan was giving actually all the symbols of his authority, all the symbols of his power. In other words, he was giving everything to David. Now, if you think of it, it was a very difficult thing for Jonathan to do. As I said, he was a prince, and not just a prince. Saul actually had a few sons, so there were a few princes, but Jonathan was the firstborn. So he was next in line to the throne. But when he gave everything to David, he's giving up the kingship. He's giving up all his ambitions, everything he had pinned his future on. If you're in line for a very big promotion, would you be willing to give up everything for a person very much younger than you? Well, that's a very hard thing to do. But Jonathan was willing. And this leads us directly to the words of Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Beautiful, but it's in King James English, and it's so hard to understand. So let me read it to you again in the New Life Version. No one can have greater love than to give his life for his friends. This is what Jesus did. He called us friends. He gave his life for us. He gave up everything for us. When Jesus was on the cross, he bore in his body the penalty of all our sins, all our shame, all our wickedness, everything that we deserve to have, all the punishment of God, Jesus bore on the cross. So now it is not us who should go to hell, but through faith in Jesus, we can live the abundant life. Heaven is ours. So let us treasure this life that God has given to us, and let us treasure especially the friends that God has given to us, His gift of friendship. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes. In a moment of silence, just give thanks to God for the friends that He has given to you. Some of us have a very special friend, a very close friend. Give thanks to God. Some of us have a group of friends. Also, give thanks to God. And some of us, we are still struggling with loneliness. This morning, if it is your heart's cry, to pray to God and say, Lord, it is not for me to ask people to be my friends, but Lord, I can be a friend to other people. And if that's your heart's cry this morning, that you want to be a good friend to other people, you cannot make other people like you, but you can like them, and you can be good friends to them. So if it is your heart's cry that you want to be that kind of person who would love others, care for others, pray for others, will you just raise your hand? And I want to pray for you wherever you are. I want to pray for you. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I just give you thanks, Lord, for all the brothers and sisters who have raised their hands. Lord, you see direct into their hearts. You know their heart's cry. Lord, I ask that you bless them, Lord. You bless them to the degree that they are being honest and open. Lord, that you will just fill their hearts with new love, with new joy, with new friendship. And Father, for the people already in their lives, that you would strengthen the bonds of friendship and make this beautiful relationship, Lord. So Lord, I thank you. I bless you also, Lord, that you are in control of all the days of our life. Father, teach us, Lord, to value the people you have brought into our life. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.